The announcement by police this week that a now deceased 15-year-old pulled the trigger in a mass shooting event at a school in Madison has again put a spotlight on children's access to guns. Two people were also shot to death at Abundant Life Christian School, and six were wounded by gunfire. Nick Matuszewski of the Wisconsin Anti-Violence Effort Educational Fund, or WAVE, says that changes in state and federal law would reduce homicides of and by juveniles. He told WUWM's Chuck Kornbach about his initial reaction to the Madison case.
You know, this was an incredibly tragic event that in some ways caught the entire community and the entire state of Wisconsin off guard. But in other ways, you know, it felt like something that was all too likely to occur with our very, very lax gun laws. You know, it's not uncommon at all in this state and across the country for children to have access to firearms, whether or not they get those firearms from a reckless parent or from illegal markets or in some cases through the internet or whatever it might be. What we do know is that children in this state have far too easy access to firearms, and it's been shown across the state, and it's why firearms are the number one cause of death for children in Wisconsin and across the country.
We should note that I believe it's legal for youth to have a gun at target practice if an adult is there, and in hunting situations, but really not too many other situations, right?
That's right. In those situations you described, but even through, you know, those means, it's possible for youth to have too much access to firearms and have knowledge of where the firearms are stored, how to get a hold of them, how to use them for dangerous means.
We did start to hear calls on Tuesday for more gun restrictions in Wisconsin. Melissa Agard, Dane County executive, who was a former Democratic state lawmaker, proposed some ideas at the Madison news briefing on the shootings. What's tops for WAVE's list at the state level?
Yeah, for WAVE and also for the Wisconsin Gun Violence Prevention Coalition that WAVE is very honored to lead, which is made up of our partners across the state who do this work. Our top policy priorities are an extreme risk law, which is also widely known as a red flag law. This is a policy that would allow for family members and other members of a community to potentially initiate a civil proceeding to remove a firearm from somebody who has demonstrated that they are a harm to themselves or others. We're also looking to pass a universal background check, which is a policy that's incredibly popular across the state and shown to be something that has the support of Republicans, Democrats, gun owners, non-gun owners. And it would just ensure that every sale of a firearm has to go through a background check to ensure that the individual who's purchasing the firearm is not a danger or does not have any disqualifying qualities that would make it so they should not own a firearm. In addition to that, we're looking to increase funding for community violence intervention programs that work in the areas that are most impacted by gun violence with the folks who are most likely to be perpetrators of gun violence, and trying to give them opportunities to break out of the cycles of violence that they're in, whether that be through providing them pathways to jobs, educational attainment, welfare assistance, you know, all these different tools that we know are incredibly helpful in giving people a new pathway forward.
Federal officials have also weighed in on the Madison shootings, both President Joe Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris, calling for more gun restrictions. What's at the top of your list at the federal level?
I'll start by saying that the Biden and Harris administration has been one of, if not the best administrations in the history of this nation as far as it goes with preventative measures for firearm violence. They've put forward so many different executive actions and orders that have been incredibly helpful and have reduced the rates of violence in our cities and areas across the country. They're also the administration that signed into law the first gun violence prevention package bill in over 30 years. So it's been really a great pleasure to advocate alongside many of the members of that administration, and we're really happy with the work that they've done. But as they will say every day, there's still a lot of work to be done. We would love to see many of the policies that I mentioned at the state level should be enacted at the federal level. Universal background checks, extreme risk laws, assault weapons bans, a national child access prevention law. You know, all of these policies when implemented at the state level, can be very impactful. But because we're a country with 50 states that all have different laws, even if Wisconsin had some of the best laws in the country, we would still be surrounded by states like Indiana and Iowa and others with lax gun laws. So it's so important that we have a 50-state approach and a federal approach to really reduce gun violence in this country.
Okay, well, yesterday we heard from a father of a young man who died in the Parkland, Florida, shootings 6 years ago. He is a big advocate for more police in schools. So, what's your take on that idea?
And I certainly understand why this would seem like an attractive policy option. And, I don't want to disparage the father of Parkland victim, but I do know that what we've seen from study after study over decades now is that while school resource officers may be effective at reducing some forms of violence in schools, some forms of bullying, and can be effective in other measures, they have not been shown to reduce instances of shooting and gun violence. In fact, some studies show that schools with school resource officers have higher rates of gun violence and are often even targeted by shooters. Beyond that, studies have shown over the years that the presence of school resource officers is likely to increase the school-to-prison pipeline. These officers usually aren't trained to handle the needs of students and are often involved in instances where it's excessive force or arrest of students when other measures would have been more appropriate. And what we see is that usually these detrimental effects are largely focused around populations that are disproportionately affected by police violence elsewhere. So Black and Brown communities, the disabled community, and others like that. So it's a discussion that should continue.
So we're on the eve of a President Trump second term, and GOP majorities in the Wisconsin legislature are narrowing. Do you see any hope for action on either of your lists?
I think unfortunately, many of the avenues for legegislative and success at the federal level are definitely winnowing down. I would never say that it's impossible to get something done in the next 4 years. During the first Trump administration, some action was taken around gun violence prevention, very limited action, but things like bump stock ban and some funding for programs that aim to reduce gun violence, but very limited, and more often than not, the actions that the Trump administration took in the past and seems likely to take going forward are going to be at the behest of groups like the NRA and other members of the gun lobby. So, as advocates, we're going to do everything we can over the next 4 years to continue to push for federal solutions and federal policies. But I do think that a lot of the focus will and should be at the state level. And as you mentioned, we have a much tighter legislative makeup now. And myself and other advocates have been taking meetings with legislators across the state to try to come to some solutions and to push for common sense gun reform.